Sex before marriage could be banned in Indonesia after the parliament published a draft of the country's criminal code. But after receiving criticism by human rights groups, President Joko Widodo has ordered a delay. Indonesian parliament was due to vote on the revisions today, and now they're sort of looking over these things. However, the law could still go ahead. Today we're joined by Kevin Borham, a good friend of The Daily, former teacher of international law at the ANU College of Law. He's on the line with us now. Kevin, good morning.
Oh, good. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us again, Kev. Firstly, could you explain the thinking behind this bill, the initial push for this bill?
The push for the bill comes from the greater Islamization of Indonesian society. There's been a very strong emphasis on the elements of Sharia law, things which are forbidden by Islam, such as sex outside marriage. And the major Muslim organisations have become politically very powerful. Indeed, President Widodo had to accept one of the leaders of one of the main Muslim organisations as his vice president, somebody who is known for taking quite a strong puritanical attitude. And so it's this increased power of the Muslim organisation which has led the Indonesian parliament to produce this legislation, which, as you say, notably criminalises sex outside marriage. So it is both gay sex and straight sex.
Has there been much of an understanding around this one so far in the way it's been reported? From what I have seen in a lot of the headlines, it's kind of been grabbing on Aussie tourists could be arrested by going to Bali, and if this law was kind of put into place. Is there a real understanding at the moment just actually what would be entailed in the bill and how it would be enforced?
Well, enforcement is a major question, of course. I think the concern, though, is that the Muslim organisations in recent years, because their youth wings, have been engaged in vigilante-style activities against, for example, places which are known as places where gay people meet and arrange sexual assignation. And there have been a number of cases where these vigilante organisations, particularly the youth wing of these Muslim organisations, have engaged in the vigilante activity. And I think this is probably the main concern, less what the police might do, but what these organisations with such legislation behind them might do by way of intimidating people.
Following the criticisms we've seen by human rights groups, how are they going to take this one back to the drawing board? I mean, without sort of canning it entirely, surely these kinds of concerns will linger on.
Well, yes, definitely. There's no indication, although, as you say, President Widodo has called for a suspension and consideration of the legislation. The push to implement it is quite strong. But, of course, there are pushes in the opposite direction, particularly by people concerned, as you've implied, with the tourist trade, particularly in Bali. And I have seen suggestions that the Australian government's travel advisory for Indonesia has referred to these difficulties. So this is focused mainly on Bali, but also in other parts of Indonesia where Australians travel. So it's this tug and tussle between the commercial interests, pressure from human rights organisations, as against the pressure from Islamic organisations for this much more strict formulation of the law in relation to consensual sex outside marriage. And I don't think it's possible at this stage to say which side will win. I think the chances are that something very like this legislation will pass because of this quite strong political impetus behind it.
Do you see, I mean, sort of Bali, you know, and Indonesians have this love-hate relationship almost with the tourism industry. Obviously, they rely on a great deal of tourist dollars, but at the same time, there's been a lot of contempt, a lot of criticism over the way some tourists act when they're on holidays in Bali, Indonesia, sort of treating it as a personal playground. How do you see this one affecting tourism long term?
If something like this legislation is passed, then I think it would have an effect on tourism. If it's correct, as I've seen in the media, that the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade is making a warning about this, this is likely to discourage a number of tourists. Obviously, married people with families would feel quite exempt from this sort of pressure, rightly or wrongly. Since, as I put it, young people go to Bali with the intention of doing just exactly what this legislation is aimed at prohibiting, it's likely to have quite a serious effect on the tourist trade.
Well, Kevin, do appreciate your time. Do appreciate you joining us this morning and having a chat with us about this one.
Cheers, Sean.
That was Kevin Borham, formerly from International Law at the ANU College of Law.